Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. From day to day, we're confronted with voices that appeal to us from every direction. A voice something like this, "Come this way," or yet another, "This is what you need, step right up." And these are all voices from the earth from here below. We hear them every day, and they force us to make moment-to-moment decisions that in some way affect all of our lives. But my friend, among all these voices, there is yet another voice calling. It's the voice from heaven. Yes, that's right. God is calling out to us from His Word. And what does He say? He says, "Stop. Stop all this madness. Come to me. Come to the great banquet that I have prepared. Come. I'll give you hope, forgiveness, eternal life." Have you ever heard that voice? Well, we hope that you will hear it today on today's broadcast. Because, you know, unfortunately, there is yet another voice that we hear in the Bible. And it's the voice of a lost sinner. The voice of one who didn't listen to the voice of God, the call of a sinner when it's too late. We invite you to listen to a gospel message given by evangelist Marvin Dirksen. And as we break in on this message, Mr. Dirksen has already read the portions of scripture upon which he bases his comments. And the first one was the well-known story of the prodigal son found in Luke chapter 15, a famine and a voice from the earth. And then the great banquet in Luke chapter 14, a feast and a voice from heaven. And lastly, he considers a lost sinner, a flame and a voice from hell, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from Luke chapter 16. Now let's listen to Mr. Marvin Dirksen with his subject this evening, Three Voices Calling.
Now we have read extensively from these stories. I'd just like to take just a very brief segment of each story, but I did feel that it was important that we read the entire account. Two of them are parables, and I think the third one that we've just finished reading is an actual event. I don't know of any parable that the Lord Jesus ever told in which he mentions specific names. But Luke 16 brings before us the name of a man that actually lived in this world. But in these three stories, we find that there are three voices that are brought into view. And so I want to speak of the three voices of the Gospel of Luke tonight. We have read, first of all, of a famine and a voice from earth. We have read, secondly, in Luke chapter 14 about a feast, a banquet, and a voice from heaven. And we have read in Luke chapter 16 about a flame and a voice from hell. These voices are all-encompassing. By that I simply mean that they touch every aspect of our existence, every sphere in which we experience life. The Lord Jesus spoke about earth. That's where we are tonight. And so Luke chapter 15 brings us very much into a hands-on world. It's where we are tonight. And there are voices, and there is one voice that booms out. It's the voice of Luke 15. There's a voice from heaven. And I know he's using it by way of a parable, but this is the very voice of the gospel. It tells about a man that made a great supper, and he said when everything was ready, "Come, come, for all things are now ready." And tonight, that is the voice of the gospel message. That's the voice that is coming from heaven. There is a feast that is being offered to individuals. But there's another place that we must speak about tonight, not just earth and not just heaven. There's a real place called hell. And Luke chapter 16 brings before us the voice that is being heard from hell. All-encompassing accounts. Secondly, I want you to notice that these are accurate voices. I'm afraid that an awful lot of people think that though the Lord Jesus was a master storyteller, you know, the Bible is really, it's kind of antiquated. It seems to have value in a lot of people's minds, but it's almost relegated to the terms of an antique. I don't know if you like antiques. But people put a tremendous value on some of the antiques, but you know, they're kind of quaint. And they don't really fit into society. They're from yesteryear. They're from way back. People think that, you know, that's kind of like the Bible. It's quaint. It has value. But, you know, it really doesn't speak to our day. It's out of step. We are so much more advanced than Bible times. Well, that may be the case. I'm sure there were no computers in Luke chapter 15. And they maybe didn't drive Chevy vans in those days. But, you know, the heart of man is the same. Einstein said, science has changed the world, but science has not changed man. And tonight, what we have been hearing from the Word of God in Job's day, and what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of in his day, is absolutely accurate for our day. God is speaking to us with accuracy. We find that these voices, not just all-encompassing, and not just accurate, but friend, these voices are designed to be arresting. God wants to get our attention. So the Lord Jesus told stories that people could understand. And these stories revealed their need. These accounts revealed heaven's interest and heaven's provision. And yes, the Lord Jesus pulled aside the curtain of eternity. And he made us aware of what is coming for every single individual. You know, tonight, what sobers me, and I trust it might sober me more than it does. I'm speaking to individuals here in this audience. And every single one of us will ultimately either be in heaven or in hell forever. I trust there'll be no one in this audience that will ever lose their soul in hell. But without a doubt, there will be individuals. They will hear the gospel. They will understand God's interest in them. But they will make choices. And undoubtedly, there will be some that will lift up their eyes in hell. These voices are meant to arrest you, to stop you, to turn you. So tonight, but we have read in Luke chapter 15, a very interesting story. I'm sure it's well known to most here. But let me just give you the bare bones. Just the one point I want to look at tonight. Here's a young man, and interestingly, he came full circle in that story. One of the preachers that many of us knew very well, Arnold Adams. He said, you know, Luke 15 tells of a man who started at home, and then he became sick of home. And so he left. And then he ended up being sick. And then he went from being sick to being homesick. And then he ended up heading back for home. And you know, that's a little account of exactly what our hearts are. Because here's a young man that moved away from that which was a natural relationship, from a home in which all his needs had been provided, a home where there was a relationship to be enjoyed with his father. But here's a young man, and he decided that that wasn't for him. There were a lot of other things to try. There was a big world out there to plug into. And so we find that he goes to his father and he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. Is that not the language of our hearts? I think Luke 15, sometimes we think that it's the story of the fellow or the young person that gets off the rails and heads down the road, down into the drugs and so on. It certainly could include that type of an individual, that type of an experience. But, you know, it's really a story that describes all of us in our natural hearts. We are characterized by self-centeredness, by give-me attitude. We want it our way. We want it on our terms. We want it coming our way. And a young man went to his father and he says, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And once he gets that, he heads off to the far country. And it just says very simply, he wasted his substance with riotous living. You can put whatever you want into that statement. That encompasses all that there is to be experienced in this world. He had an awful lot to invest, and invest he did. And it just says that he wasted it with riotous living. There's a tremendous purpose that God has for us. God has made us with a divine design that we might know him, and that we might enjoy him, and that we might live for him. But the human heart is convinced that that's the way of bondage and drudgery, and it's not for me. And the world has turned away from God and turned away from this book. They have just gone their own way. And when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself, because for 22 years describes me. I didn't get into the gutter of sin. No credit to me, but I'm thankful for the way I was raised. But you know, I'm just going my own way. I didn't want the Bible. I didn't want the gospel. When my brother came home and said he'd gotten saved doing graduate studies at Western, and he came home and said that he'd gotten saved, I thought, oh, My brother has thrown his life out the window. He's become a religious fanatic. And I said, if he wants to ruin his life, go ahead. That is not for me. Because I had my own plans. I had my own way. But you know, the story doesn't end there. And your story's not going to end there. It said, after he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, famines, a lack of food, spiritually speaking, always come. Sin, self-centeredness, really does not satisfy. There comes a, I trust it will come the moment in your life when from your very soul there will come that admission, I am empty. I'm in a famine. I have nothing that really satisfies me. I was struck when Frank Sinatra died. Can't remember the exact date. Old Blue Eyes was his nickname. And his daughter, Tina, said of her father, and I quote, he was a man who all his life looked outside for what he was missing inside. Doesn't that describe our world? Maybe that describes your life. Empty inside, looking outside. You know, that has been repeated over and over and over again. People trying to find satisfaction. People plugging into this and investing in that and going there and buying that and experiencing whatever. But they're never satisfied. And after they have spent all and the famine comes, they realize I have nothing, nothing that has lasting value. And a young man has to admit, I'm empty. You know, that's the language of the world. Could I just quote one verse that the Lord Jesus said? He was speaking to a woman. He was sitting on a well and she had come there to draw water in John chapter 4. And he just said to her, whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. Whoever drinks of the waters of this world, of this life, whatever it is going to thirst again. Because all the pleasures and the riches and the success and fame and all the lifestyle that you want to plug into, whatever it is, will never really satisfy. Never. You see, we're made for God. We're made by God. We're made to know God. And the voice that came from a sinking world was that of a young man in a famine. I'm empty. I'm hungry. I have nothing that is really satisfied. Maybe you've come to this meeting and you might not say it outwardly, but you're looking for something. A friend of ours, another gospel preacher, was going visiting one day down in the eastern United States. He was just going door to door, and there was a young woman sitting on the front steps. So he went up to the young woman. He said, looks like you're having a bad day. Now, she said, I'm having a bad life. What's your life like? Amidst all the success and all the plans and all the pleasure, you got anything that has lasting value? Do you have anything for your soul? Have you found that which really satisfies? Or could I say, have you found the one that satisfies? But you know, there's another voice tonight. It's the voice of heaven. And as the Lord Jesus told the account in Luke chapter 14, he said, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And tonight, the very focus, the very center of the gospel concerns what God has done. You see, salvation is what God has provided, what God has prepared. This wonderful banquet, this feast, was a costly feast. Not only money, but there's a great deal of labor that goes into a supper, into a banquet, and especially this kind of a banquet, a great feast, a great banquet. And as this man, this certain man, made this great supper, he invited many. It wasn't just a little dinner party for a couple of people. It was a vast banquet. He invited many. And when that supper was prepared, he sent out the invitation. He says, come, come, for all things are now ready. Could I take you to a place where the banquet of salvation was prepared? You say, well, where was that? If I were to tell you, I'd have to take you out to a little place outside of the gate of Jerusalem. When 2,000 years ago, a man bearing a cross went out to Skull Hill. He was going out to die. He was going out to suffer unjustly. But he was going out voluntarily. In fact, the Bible says he, bearing his cross, went forth to the place of the skull. Why was he going there? To provide the great reality of salvation for undeserving individuals. And there upon that cross, nailed by hands and feet, with the cries of his own creatures screaming at him and mocking him and laughing at him. They said he saved others. Supposedly, he can't even save himself. If you're really who you say you are, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. But there in the agonies of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sins, the just one for unjust ones, that he might bring us to God. Or could I put it maybe a bit more plainly? That he might bring us to the banquet, that we might be able to sit down and enjoy all that he has accomplished. Because you see, at that cross, he dealt with our sin. And he dealt with our alienation from God. And he dealt with the wrath of God that was coming our way righteously. Yet there at that cross, the judgment that was coming toward us was now redirected to a man who had never sinned. And there at dark Calvary at the cross, he experienced the judgment of God in full for our sin. And he drained that cup of wrath. There's not one drop left when Christ drained the wrath of God. When I understood that, I thought to myself, what a huge, huge price to pay. And yet, what a full salvation. If I could just plainly tell you that the language of heaven, the voice from heaven, is saying to everyone in this audience, regardless of where you've been, regardless of how deep into sin you've gone or how religious you've maintained yourself, regardless of your condition, the voice from heaven is saying, come, for all things are now ready. And you say, well, I don't deserve it. No, you don't deserve to come. Neither do I. And you don't have to pay anything for it. That's the amazing thing about that. And as you're invited to sit down at that banquet, I'm not going to give you the full menu because I wouldn't have enough time. But you know what makes that so wonderful? On that table at that banquet is the forgiveness of sins. On that table is peace with God. Wonderful not to have to be afraid of the future. If the Lord comes, great. Just to have peace with God within. And joy in your soul because you know Christ and you know where you're going. And you know why you're here. And to have a purpose that has eternal dimensions. And friend, that's only the tip of the iceberg. Because there's a day coming when all the redeemed will sit down at an eternal banquet. Christ will be there personally. We will see him and we'll be with him and we'll be like him and we'll serve him and we'll worship him. What a tremendous future is ours as believers. What a tragedy to be on the wrong side of a closed door. The message from heaven is simply this tonight. Come, come, come now. Because all things have been provided by another. And friend, you are invited tonight to the banquet of salvation. What are you going to do with God's invitation? What are you going to do with a voice from heaven? We're not asking you to join this place. We have nothing to join. We're not asking you to turn over a new leaf or to try and relate to us. That's not it at all. There's a voice that's coming from heaven. The voice of grace, the voice of salvation. And the Savior says, come, for all things are now ready. You say, what if I don't come? You miss the banquet. You refuse the invitation. There's another voice. It'll be your voice. And I'm not here to try to ram Luke 16 down anyone's throat. But Luke 16 is a reality. There are two men in Luke 16. One's identified as Lazarus, poor beggar. The other was an unnamed man. Not because he didn't have a name, but he's not recognized by God. Never had a relationship with heaven. From the depths of hell, we hear a voice. Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Is that possible? That a man in hell is just crying for one drop of water to cool his tongue because of the flame? Those are the words of Christ. Those are the words of the very one who knows what eternity is all about. Those are the words of the Lord of life and glory in the future. He knows the eternal dimensions of where we're going. What strikes me so forcibly with regard to this poor man whose voice we hear from hell, I'm amazed at all the blessings he had going for him. Did you notice what he had? God had been good to him. He had all kinds of things. Good clothing, designer clothing. He had gourmet food. He had a tremendous dwelling place. He had everything going for him. But here's a man that never acknowledged God in life. Self-centered. But you know, interestingly, this man had a Christian at his gate. Can you just see the man leaving in his chariot and there's the old beggar at the gate? Lazarus, why doesn't he go somewhere else? But you know, the man at the gate, though he was just a poor beggar, he knew Christ as his Savior. He'd experienced the salvation of God. And you know, as that rich man came down the hill and passed the gate and passed the Christian, God was speaking to him. Let me ask you tonight as I close, do you know any Christians personally? I could tell you that one of the greatest voices of God to me was the witness of my brother and the witness of believers. And this man had a Christian at his very gate. This man had the Word of God. Let me ask you, do you have a Bible? Do you read what God is saying to you? Because this man, he had the Word of God. Did you notice who died first? It wasn't the rich man, the unbeliever. It was the Christian that died first. And sometimes death kind of jolts us, doesn't it? Sometimes it comes with a tremendous force as we realize, my, they were here today and they're gone now. Didn't expect that. Maybe that man, as he drove out through the gate, Lazarus was gone. And as he made inquiry, they said, well, he died last night. It should have been a voice to him. Disregarded all that God had put into his way. And as he died and was buried, the Lord Jesus said, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. A voice from hell. And tonight our gospel meeting, as we bring it to a close, focus on these three voices. A voice from earth with a famine. A voice from heaven with a feast. A voice from hell with the flame of God's wrath. Tonight I trust that you'll respond to God's invitation and receive Christ as your Savior. Sit down to the banquet and rejoice for all eternity.
Yes, that's right. You too can sit down at God's great banquet and share the riches of Christ for all of eternity. But you must respond to the voice, my friend, the voice that is calling you today. Come, for all things are now ready. So what's keeping you from accepting that wonderful invitation? He's calling you. If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gospel hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.